This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all, it's Thursday. It is the Friday of my week. I can't tell you how hard it's been this week. And I come into the studio, and there's a lot of fire going on in this studio. But you know what? We're happy to be here. Question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page. What's your caught cheating horror story? Actually, I just want to hear about all your cheating horror stories. That's on our Loveline IG page, so follow us and give us your answers. We'll be breaking that down later in the show. Also, we'll be doing our Freak on the Streets, where some Loveline fans can ask their Q&A, but as always, the phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. So let's just jump in with some interesting things that are going on. It's Pride Month. I think LA is one of the first cities to kind of kick off Pride. So Target stores are not only offering clothing and accessories celebrating the gay lifestyle. That term to me is very like 1972. I don't really know what the gay lifestyle is. But the company is pledging to donate to a nonprofit that supports trans students and teachers with politics and advocacy. On paper, that's absolutely stunning. What I do like is they have children's clothing that has the rainbow flag and shirts that have proclamations like love my dads, love my moms. So I'm all about that. Also, Listerine, this is kind of like a curveball. Listerine's releasing a rainbow colored pride bottle. Okay, exactly. Now, the topic that comes up for me is what we call performative allyship or homodification. It basically just means you're going to make money off of pride by slapping rainbows on things, but do you really support the LGBTQIA community? And I would know that you do by looking at your board of directors, by looking at organizations that you donate money to or do not donate money to, and whether or not you really advocate for rights. Because if you're just showing up to make money off Pride Month, then we need to boycott your butt. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping it's actually that they're on board. Now, this was fascinating too. So GLAAD, who tracks and gives a rating system to studios and television shows based on their LGBTQIA support and friendliness, has released a statement saying that Disney is the only film studio that in 2018 had absolutely no LGBTQIA inclusive films. Yeah. Like, I expected you to do it just again for, you know, the performativeness of allyship, because it's really cool right now to have diversity and inclusion. You didn't even do it for that crappy reason. So you have none. Disney, step it up. Representation is an important part of mental health. To look out at films and television and to see your sexual identity, your body, your gender expression reflected back to you and legitimized through a show is a powerfully needed and transformative part of just living healthily in this world. So shame on you, Disney. Disney was the worst, along with Lionsgate. They both got failing ratings. That's heartbreaking. Also, GLAAD said that there are no transgender characters in any of the major studio films last year. None. I think 2019 will do better, I think. You know, again, it's interesting to see who plugs people in. We call it tokenization, where you really don't care. They don't have much of a developed story, but you slap them on the flyer. They walk by in the film a little bit, and then you can claim that you have all diversity, you know, covered. So anyway, we're keeping an eye on y'all. Also, this is phenomenal to me. Baltimore has started a nightclub for disabled adults. Now, for those of you that don't understand why that's even needed, it's huge because basically they have hallways and doorways that are wide enough for wheelchairs. They have flashing lights on the dance floor that are programmed based on the advice of a neurologist so that they don't trigger seizures. And they also have special cups for people that have issues with grip and holding things. That's phenomenal because, again, part of mental health is feeling as though you have access to certain spaces. And to be able to go to a dance club is a big deal. There's a quote, and it's basically from someone who has a developmental disability saying, I'm so thankful that this exists because I'm looking for someone to treat me right, and I want a date. Like, that's a beautiful part of relationality and sexuality, is having a space to go that meets your needs, where you can meet people that support the kind of identity and way that you move through the world, right? We have gay bars, we have straight bars, so we need bars that are, you know, not ableist and have accommodations for those that are disabled. So that's absolutely stunning. looking through that article, that just put a huge smile on my face. About a quarter of them use a wheelchair, and roughly 1 in 10 have visual impairment. And so they've kind of met their needs. So I think that's absolutely stunning. Later in the show, coming up next, we have Dr. Tammy Nelson. She has a new book called When You Are the One Who Cheats. This is absolutely amazing, because often the books are written for people who have been cheated on, but this book is written for people that cheat, for them to help figure out how to get out of that toxic solution that they thought might solve whatever it is that they were trying to solve. So we're going to be breaking that on down next, listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline.
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 This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and we got a question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's your caught cheating horror story. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as doing our Freak on the Streak, where our fans get to ask some questions. And as always, the Loveline phone lines are open, 1-833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. But tonight we're sitting down with Dr. Tammy Nelson, author of When You Are the One Who Cheats. Thanks for coming by. So first off, let me just give you a little praise and a little, you know, when I was getting into the field, I mean, you were someone whose work that was really inspiring to me.
Wow, you make me sound so old. But
I know.
Thank you.
I didn't want it to have that component tied to it. I wanted to just thank you and compliment you for being one of the forerunners in our field.
Wow, thank you so much. I really like being old now.
And there it is again. I swore that was meant to be a compliment. But, you know, what was interesting to me about your new book and talking to people about it is it just the concept of what it's about triggers people, because a couple of people said immediately, I don't care about the cheater. I don't care about the cheater's perspective or their work that they need to do. And I thought, there it is. Yeah. So what led you to write this?
Well, you know, my whole mission this year has been about the truth. Like, let's just tell the truth, because I think telling the truth in a relationship is the scariest thing you can do. It's terrifying. But that's really what intimacy is. That's why relationships are so freaking hard, right? Because telling the truth is threatening. It's terrifying. It's horrifying. And it's wonderful and intimate and connecting. And none of us really know how to do it very well. But we usually focus on, in infidelity, we usually focus on the person who's been cheated on. And that's not really about telling the truth either. It's just about talking about the pain of it. And that doesn't bring out what's really happening in the relationship. So I was really curious, like, what is the truth from the person who's been cheating? What's the truth from their perspective? The truth about why they cheated? The truth about not so much the person that they're looking for, but the person that they're looking to become?
Mm. You know? I love that perspective too, that it might have a transformative attempt in it for the person who's cheating.
Yeah,
they're seeking something.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah, I love that, because I think that's, I know just in my own personal life and my relationships, those moments of deep, deep intimacy were born out of revealing something that made me anxious, and maybe it was anxious for my other to hear. Mm-hmm. But it brings you so close, and also has like an interestingly erotic component at times.
Yeah, it can
there's
be
there's like
sexy.
An arousal tied to that. Yeah.
It's happening also, down there. There's also a challenge. Like, if you are the one who cheats and you want to tell your partner, are you really telling them the truth because you just want to use them for your confessor because you think it's going to make you feel better? Is that really the right thing to do all the time? Because people ask me that all the time. Should I tell my partner? Like, I had this one night stand 8 weeks ago. I kind of woke up and went, oh my God, what am I doing? Should I tell my partner? That's a really difficult question.
It's interesting. I wrote an article a couple years ago, and I got a lot of flack for it, because one of the things I said in it was that before I support someone in making a disclosure, I always want them to assess first the mental state of the person they want to disclose to. What's going on in their life? Did they just lose a loved one or a job? Are they in a grounded place to hear this? Or do you need to lovingly... No, I don't want to use the word withhold because that's very loaded, but you need to lovingly wait and delay this confession because it's based on your anxiety. And a lot of people couldn't handle that. They're like, I would want to know right away. And I thought, but it's got to be a mental health issue. It's got to be centered around actually being able to do something productive with it.
Yeah. And I don't know if they want to know. And when they say they want to know, what do they want to know? Because once you tell and once you know, you can't unknow it.
That's
like
right.
You can't unring the bell. So if you want to know, and if you want to know the truth, and if you're asking your partner, okay, I'm pretty sure you cheated on me, and I want to know everything, well, do you really want to know everything? And what do you want to know specifically? Because
right.
what people really want to know sometimes when they like play detective and they like want to know the details, well, how many times and who were you with and how big were her boobs and where did you sleep together? Like all those details. They play the detective because what they really want to know underneath all of that is why.
Right.
Like, why did you do that? And sometimes knowing all those little details, that's really not going to answer that question.
You also set up a life of triggers. I'm just thinking immediately of a couple I was working with where anytime they drove by a couple of those key restaurants or hotels, it became a trigger and they couldn't necessarily avoid that route. And they just lived in a constant state of being triggered because they knew. And it redefined some of these local places that they had to drive by. I mean, that's intense.
That's very intense.
So jumping kind of in, I pulled a quote from it. So it says, the decision to cheat usually comes well before the actual cheating. Even if you tell yourself the cheating's impulsive, the affair was most premeditated.
Yeah, I've never met anyone, if they're really honest, if they're really telling the truth, that just falls in bed with someone and goes like, oh my God, I don't know how that happened. And frankly, if it does happen that way, if you wake up the next morning and you realize, I can't believe I cheated, then you're either roofied or you drank too much. And either way, you should probably get some help.
Right. Well said.
Either get some legal help or go to rehab because there's a problem. Because people really do premeditate these things. It takes a while.
It's interesting because, a lot of the out-of-the-field theories are rooted in they're not getting what they need sexually at home. But a lot of the research weighing on this, if this is your experience as well, a lot of the research says that often it comes from people that are getting their sexual needs met in their relationship.
Yeah, I think that's the number one myth. Is that you have to stop blaming your spouse.
Right.
Like you can't blame your spouse, you can't blame your therapist, you can't blame your parents.
You can't blame your therapist.
No. Not me, anyway.
I'm happy to hear
Maybe
about that
you,
one.
But they can't blame me.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll continue breaking this down. We're sitting down with Dr. Tammy Nelson, author of When You Are the One Who Cheats, listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We've got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, your caught cheating horror story. We want the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as our freak on the streets. But right now, we're with Dr. Tammy Nelson, author of When You Are the One Who Cheats. And again, what's really revolutionary about this is the perspective you take is the, perspective of he or she who cheats, what it's about, what they need to do. So we were talking right at the break about why affairs happen. So pick us back up right there.
Well, I think there's as many kinds of affairs as there are people, frankly, but I think they fall into a couple different categories. One, I think people cheat for a can opener reason, like they cheat to get out of their affair. No, they cheat to get out of their marriage or their current relationship, or they cheat to stay in their marriage or their current relationship. And I think that sometimes the idea that they cheat to not just to find someone else, but to be someone else is probably true in both those situations. And the idea that we sometimes stop being curious about the person that we're with and we think, oh, well, I could never do that with my husband or my wife, or she's not into that, or he doesn't let me do
and
that.
That's an interesting moment because in our last segment, you're talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the need for truth is kind of the center point of your work right now. And that kind of ties into that.
It totally does.
Where we give up on ourselves, our partner, and our relationship when we stop trying to go into those deeper depths and share what makes us anxious, especially if you've been in something in a long term.
Or even share what we really desire and really want and really want to integrate into our relationship. So I don't think affairs are really about morality. Like somehow we've made this thing about monogamy about morality, and I don't think that's what it is. I think affairs are about integrity. I think we're in a crisis of integrity in our country right now. I mean, like, crisis.
Got that right. I mean, talking outside of the topic, yes.
Yeah, it's just a broad crisis.
That's right. Well said.
All over the world, the planet. But this is really about integrating all the parts of you. Like, instead of disintegrating, dismembering, compartmentalizing, hiding parts of you.
Which is an act of love and care.
It can be. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To say something that maybe is they don't want to hear, but you're saying, like, I care enough about us to be known to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a risk for me and for you. And can you love me the way I am? Because I love you enough to show you all those parts of me.
So say thank you when it comes.
Or say, no, I'm leaving. I don't like all those parts
of you. Right. I can't accept that. But I want to ask you this. Do you think our definition of cheating is too sensitive?
Well, there's a whole range of definition. But I define it by three things. One, it's some kind of relationship outside of our partnership. There's some kind of sex. Maybe it's online. Maybe it's masturbation. There's something going on. And there's some kind of dishonesty.
So you fold in the cheating, the sexual, physical component. Because what are your thoughts on the idea of emotional infidelity in affairs?
Well, I think that people do have, like, work spouses.
Right.
I think they have emotional affairs.
I have one at every job I work. I literally always
have a work spouse.
Yes.
She's smiling.
I guess it's Samantha over there. I was thinking more Nicole Alvarez or Amber Rose based on projects, but I use it in a cute way. I don't mean it in the way we're talking, where there's literally a deep, deep intimacy that might be seen as inappropriate. But do you think that that is problematic, or is that just part of spending that much time around someone and it should be allowable?
It's problematic if it interferes with your relationship.
Then. Okay.
It's not about allowable. It's about, can you bring that energy into your whole life, or do you compartmentalize it, keep it secret, and try to split it off, and then it becomes a problem? You know, I mean, you're entitled to your life, and if it makes you feel alive, that's awesome. And if it brings more to your relationship, that's even better. But if you keep it a secret and you feel guilty about it, then it becomes a problem.
Okay. So it's the secrecy. Bring it to light by going home and maybe sharing with your primary partner that this other relationship exists as a way to kind of keep it accountable?
Or that I exist as a bigger, better person.
I like that.
Because I have this work person at work, or because I have this excitement about work, or, you know, there's something erotic about being excited and creative and full of Eros energy. And, you know, you get really, you become a bigger, better person if you're ambitious and alive.
And this is a loaded word. I hate the word healthy, but I want to, but let's use it for a second. In a healthy relationship, you'd hope that your partner would want to support that aliveness that you're feeling because of that relationship. But yet some people have what we're talking more about, a toxic monogamy-based idea, and they're threatened by that as opposed to wanting to support that for you because they care about you.
And I think there's two parts of that. One is that the threat comes from an intuitive sense that you're doing something that you're hiding from me. There's a piece of that that's secret, and you're not sharing that with me, and I don't know why. And so my intuition is telling me there's something not right. And then the second part is, I love that about you, but I don't have that for myself. And so I feel like it shrinks me as a person, because you're so big and you're going places and you're doing stuff, and I have to shrink myself to fit into this relationship. And so that's a totally different show.
So it is.
But, another book.
But quickly staying with it, do you see the work then as the person that feels shrunk, that they need to go try to expand their world, or should they ask their partner to kind of shrink down to their level of comfort?
Well, no one should shrink.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I agree. I was hoping you were going to say that.
There should be no shrinking.
We should all be expanding,
Well, but
be inspired by
that. There's two kinds of people, really. There's expanders that are always starting new things, like you and I.
Right.
Always doing something new.
Yeah.
Always have new ideas, new projects, but we never finish anything.
Speak for yourself, Tammy.
Well, we're always on to something new.
That's right.
Another project.
That keeps us charged, right? What's next?
Yeah. That's creative thought.
Right.
Expanding. But there's also maintainers. Maintainers pick one thing, they do it really well, and they're really good at it, but they kind of feel stuck. But they get to be like super experts at things.
I love that. The people that shame me and say, Chris, we can't date, you're too complex. I'm like, I'm just an expander.
You are.
I'm just misunderstood. Am I expanding?
I'm creative.
I'm just creative. We're sitting down with Dr. Tammy Nelson talking about her new book, When You Are the One Who Cheats. When we come back, we'll be diving deeper in. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question tonight up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is your caught cheating horror story. Also, the phone lines are always open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. So tonight we're sitting down talking with Dr. Tammy Nelson, author of When You Are the One Who Cheats. An amazing book because, as I was saying earlier, a lot of books center around he or she who's been cheated on, leaving people who are cheating out and unable to really find a resource to explore what they want to do, what's going on with them, what options are available to them. So you were telling me off air about this Ashley Madison experience you had. So please share.
Yeah, so I had this great experience, this great opportunity where I could go on Ashley Madison, which is a dating site for married people who are looking for other people to date. They have 60 million people
secretively
worldwide members since like 2002.
That's a number.
That's a lot. And half the members on there are women. So that's what fascinated me. So they gave me a profile. I couldn't talk to anybody, and I didn't put any pictures up or descriptions of myself, but I was a man and as a woman. And what I found was that as a man and as a woman, they were totally different. So as a woman, the guys contacted me, and they said, I'm not going to leave my wife. I'm looking for an affair, but I want a relationship. I want emotional connection. I want something long-term. I want to talk to you every day, and I don't want casual sex.
Wow. Because I think the assumption would be the opposite.
Totally.
Men are so hypersexual. They don't want
any
relationality, no intimacy. Right.
Right. Not true. The women, when they thought I was a man, they sent me pictures of themselves like in lingerie and bikini shots, and all they wanted was like 50 Shades of Grey sex.
And I sit on the fence with that because on one hand, I'm like female sexual empowerment. I love that they have an outlet to express themselves in that way. And I also like the myth busting that women aren't hypersexual. Women only have a passivity-based sex drive.
Such a lie.
Thank you.
Such a lie.
I battle people over that.
No, these are women that were like, I want to have sex as soon as I put the kids on the bus. I don't want to hear your problems. You have a wife for that. I just want casual sex. These are women that, you know, they're adults and they just want sexual connection. Now, that means women want sex and relationships, and men want sex and relationships. Like, we all want both.
But it's hard for some people to integrate it all together.
And sometimes we can't.
Yeah.
And sometimes people cheat because they want both.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to give, though, the big solution you offer in the book, what would you say it is for someone who's cheating? Because the question I posed was, and tell me if this is like the main centralized question, should you end the affair or should you end your marriage? Or do you feel like people sometimes won't even enter that and they just try to pull off both?
People do pull off both for a while.
Right.
But most affairs don't last longer than a year. That's unusual.
Okay.
And only 7% of people actually end up with the person they're cheating with if they try to leave. So warning out there to cheaters, like if you think this is going to be like the solution for you, probably not.
Yeah, you're not going to be in the 93%.
Probably not because, I mean, the one problem with leaving your spouse for the person you cheated with is that you don't trust them.
Yeah.
You know, because they're a cheater.
That's right. That's right. And then so when you talk to people about should they end the affair or your marriage, what kind of thoughts should someone sit with in making that decision? Because that's a powerful move.
It's a powerful move and it's a powerful decision. And that goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning. Like, can you tell the truth to yourself? Like, what is the truth here? What are you looking for? And with all due respect to the person you're cheating with, if it's not really about the person you're cheating with, but the person that you're trying to become, who are you when you're with that person? Who are you in this affair? And can you integrate that part of you back into the marriage? Can you become an integrated person? Because if you try to end your affair and get rid of that part of you, it's just going to come back. It can't go underground. You know, eventually, once you've been down off the farm, forget it.
Right. So it's a symptom of something, or you're trying to fix something, or you're trying to have a transformative experience. Figure out that. So I like that. It's about a self-reflective state. Don't blame your partner. It's not about your partner.
It's
they don't need to offer more sex. Okay. I like that.
I don't care what your partner's doing. It's not their fault.
That's right. And yet they personalize it, right?
Of course.
Person's been cheated on. What's of wrong course. With us? What's our deficit?
Of course. Can I give you more of this? Can I do more of that? And to be fair, if you've been cheated on, the idea that you could actually get back into a relationship and trust the other person, trust is not really about the other person either. It's not about the person that cheated. Because the cheating person can jump through a million hoops to try to make you feel more confident and try to make you trust them and forgive them. And you can give them 1,000 passwords to all your stuff. And frankly, trust is an inside job. So if you've been cheated on, you don't trust yourself anymore. your intuition has been destroyed. You're like, oh my God, I should have known. Maybe I did know. I should have told myself. I should have known better. And why did I do this? And I can't stand myself. And why am I with them? And
so if someone says, I've been cheated on, I'm going to request all their passwords, I'm going to start checking their phone, I want to have access to everything, you would say that's out of anxiety. That won't make you feel better, safer. You have to do the internal work of starting to trust yourself again.
I would say, if that's what you want to do in the agreement between the two of you, in the vision of your relationship going forward, but I will tell you that the work is that you have to learn to discern the difference between your intuition and your fear. Because that's the work you're going to have to do for the rest of your life. Like, this is an existential crisis, right? It's like, oh my God, can I really trust that another person's not going to hurt me and love them anyway?
Wow. And yet, you know, anyone you're with, no matter how great and loving, will let you down hundreds of times through the course of your relationship. And so you have to even separate out the level of hurt.
Yeah, that's grown-up love.
Yeah, that's grown-up love. I love that. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to be sliding into those DMs together where Dr. Tammy Nelson is going to be helping us answer some questions centered around cheating. Listening to Loveline, Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night. Caught cheating horror stories. On our Loveline IG page, we'll be breaking that on down. Also doing some freak on the streets. But right now, it is time to slide on into those DMs. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. And we got Dr. Tammy Nelson with us, author of When You Are the One Who Cheats. She's going to help me do these DMs.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, these are good ones. Dear Dr. Chris, I listened to everyone's lines when it came to cheating the other day, and I agree with you that when you are being sneaky and deleting messages, it's shady. But what if someone, a coworker or an ex, is pursuing you or sends you flirty messages here and there, and you don't respond, but you just delete them? Is that shady? I've done this before, but the more I think of it, I can't decide if I'd want my partner to ignore them, delete them, and never speak of it, or if they should be honest and tell me. It's a tough one.
Well, first, I think you got to decide, is this private or secret? Like, are you protecting your privacy because this really has nothing to do with your partner, or is this really secret and, you know, you really don't want to tell your partner because you know it's going to create huge conflict? If you're being conflict avoidant, that's not going to help your relationship. If it's really something you don't want to bring up because it's just going to be a whole pile of problems, then that's a different conversation.
Is that adult love? That is adult love.
Well, you know, second adolescence that we all go through later on in life, sometimes you act like an adolescent from your first adolescence, but you try to be a little bit more aware this time. So what can you do to be more aware and awake in your relationship? That's the advice I'd give you.
Oh, I love that. All right, here's the next one. Hey, Dr. Chris and Dr. Tammy Nelson. I'm really a confident person. Is this one? Yes. Okay. I'm really a confident person, but will you explain to me why people's exes are such a trigger? I worked with my boyfriend's ex for about 2 years, even a little while they dated, and was never jealous of her. I thought she was pretty, but never gave it much thought. Now, a year into dating my boyfriend, I can't even handle him bringing her up, especially when for some reason he actually felt open enough to tell me he had a dream he cheated on me with her, which heightened this insecurity. He's never given me any reason to question his love for me, but I know he's frustrated with my insecurities because I stupidly have brought her up in arguments, and he asks why I suddenly am so obsessed. My question is, how do I stop this, and why does this happen?
You know, I'd go back to that whole thing I was talking about before. Is this your fear or your intuition? Like, is there really something going on with this person that you're feeling insecure about this particular ex? Or is your fear getting triggered because there's something that isn't right about this relationship? And sometimes people really don't commit fully, and you just sense it, and you know something's not right, and you know that they can't fully be trusted, but you can't put your finger on it. So your anxiety will float around. Like, anxiety is sort of free-floating, and it'll find something to latch onto. And an ex is like the perfect thing.
I love your referencing constantly to the intuitive piece, because I think that's something we're trained to ignore often.
Yeah, or like, not trust.
Yeah, not trust it. Be rational. Be rational. It's like, no, my intuition is rational. Mm-hmm. That's like an important barometer that I carry within me. I've been spending this year trying to check more into my own body around that, and it's been so powerful.
Yeah.
It's so honest.
I think people confuse it sometimes with their feelings.
Right, right.
Like you have your head, which is the story you make up, and then you have your emotions, which can sometimes be super intense, but way under that is your intuition, and that's what you know.
Bam.
You know that.
Check in with that. Honor that. All right, we got time for one more. Hey, Dr. Chris, I love your show. Love all the work you're doing. You've really helped me positively change my mindset on a lot of things. I want to thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for making me part of your journey. Now to my question. Over the past 2 years or so, I've worked really hard on my mental health. I made a lot of changes. However, right now I'm struggling with feeling comfortable in my own skin. What advice would you give to someone who's constantly seeing ads about shapewear, fad diets to join, and workout pages? I've unfollowed all of them that don't fit my way of thinking, but I'm finding it really hard to escape ads on social media, and it has me feeling self-conscious about my body that I'm working so hard to love. Help. It's a big one. We are immersed in this stuff. I always talk about this, just at least living in LA, even if you unfollow those ads, don't have those magazines on your table, the billboards are there, you know, you can't get away from this. Conversations with your friends talking about I feel fat or I'm counting calories. I mean, we are immersed in diet culture.
You know, it's funny. My first book was actually called What's Eating You? And that's how I became a sex therapist.
Really?
Because I found out that people, especially women, they stand in front of the cabinets looking for something. They're craving like chocolate or ice cream, and they can't figure out what they're craving. And I realized it was sex.
Bam! At the root of it all, put down that candy bar. It's sex you want.
Well, sometimes it's chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's be real. Like, sometimes it is just. Sometimes it's just about the chocolate.
Yeah.
But, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
wow.
But body image and sexuality are so intimately connected, and you got to tease that stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, what's really going on? Like that negative body image, is it how you feel about yourself sexually, or is there something related to your childhood? Like, what do you feel good about?
I like you highlighting the two, because that's something I'm trying to talk a lot about this more this year, is that body positivity world leaves out sex and sex positivity, and the sex positivity world doesn't talk enough about body positivity and how they intersect and actually are synchronized.
Yeah, and sexual self-esteem.
That's right. Yes. That's a real thing. Body esteem, sexual self-esteem. Got to work on that stuff. Beautifully said. Yeah. So what's next for you?
Well,
because you're an expander.
I am an expander.
Like myself.
Of course, I have like 3 new books coming out.
Love it.
Yeah. So I'm doing a lot of training for therapists, and I'm writing a memoir.
Really?
Talk about telling the truth.
Beautiful.
Terrifying.
Yeah, of course.
Terrifying. So I did a TED talk, and I did another talk about claiming center stage, which is a talk that sort of about my childhood, and that I, you know, crawled in a hole for like a week, but now I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling brave, and I'm gonna like, you know, practice what I preach.
I'm proud of you. I'm inspired. I'm not ready for the memoir thing. In my 2 books, I dropped a few anecdotes, kind of dipping my toe in there. I'm just not ready for all
scary.
That. So where can people find you?
They can go to my website, drtammynelson.com, drtammynelson.com. And any listeners that want to contact me, I'll give them a free ebook as a gift.
All right. Well done. Well, Dr. Tammy Nelson, thank you not only for being a guest on our show tonight, but also just thank you for the work you do. You've inspired me, and
thank
you're part
you.
Of the reason why I got into the field I got into.
Oh,
truly.
Thank you.
So thank you so
I
much.
I love you on Lifeline.
Thank you. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel, QandRadio.com. And when we come back, we'll be doing The Freak on the Street. See you back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline.
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 This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's about your cheating horror stories. More specifically, your caught cheating horror stories. So you got a few more minutes to weigh in on that, because we're going to come back and answer. Not answer. We're going to come back and look at your answers. But right now it's time for some Freak on the Streets.
Hi, Dr. Chris. My question is about divorce. How would I approach a man who I might want to date about the fact that I've been divorced twice? I've had gentlemen in the past that have told me that they wouldn't date anyone who was married more than once. But I was married twice, once very young for just a year, and then again 17 years later for another 20 years. But men my age are a little bit nervous about dating a woman who they know has been married more than once. So would you suggest that I tell them about it, or just wait to see how the relationship develops before I say anything at all? Thanks for your help.
I love this question because nothing bothers me more than people that divorce shame. You know what someone having been divorced means? It means they've been in relationships. We've all been in relationships. We've all left relationships. Whether they were married or not, they were in a relationship and they left one. Having been married shouldn't be stigmatized as though it's a bigger failure. They signed some paperwork. That doesn't make that more of a failure. So number one, you shouldn't tell someone anything that you think might be stigmatizing too soon. I think people have to earn the right to triggering information, right? So I would say you go on a first couple dates and you share all the fun, superficial, topical stuff, the movies you like, your favorite color, you know, things that you want to do with your future. And you really connect and bond over that. And then once they've earned the trust and there's some attachment, that's when you can share some of the bigger, important, more triggering things like a recovery history, a struggle with drugs and alcohol, some mental health stuff. And sadly, divorce, it shouldn't be a trigger. Again, we've all been in multiple relationships. We've left them. Some people choose marriage for some of them and some people don't. But that shouldn't be something that speaks to their ability to be a healthy partner in the future. If anything, it should be a sign that, wow, this person really knows how to commit, so much so that they went through with the marriage multiple times. This person really understands intimacy and connection to a deep level. I think it should be a positive attribute. So if someone is that primitive, that they really see that as a mark against you, then I'm concerned about their mental health. And I would say maybe you don't want to bring them in and date them, right? But you don't need to disclose that right away. Sometimes we think, you know, out of our anxiety that we should disclose anything that's triggering and get approval right away. But no, they have to earn their right to that. So you don't need to disclose that. And I want you to feel confident in the fact that you've committed deeply and you've been married before. It's a beautiful freaking thing.
So I broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years after he cheated on me. It was really public and embarrassing. And I found out that it had been going on basically the entire time of our relationship. He's gone to see a therapist and, you know, he has come clean literally about everything, even more than I probably would have liked to have known. But he wants to get back together and, you know, I really love him. And I'd love your advice to see what you think I should do.
You take them back. People have to be allowed to do the work, repair, take accountability, and get forgiveness and come back. We all have a history. And if we are all held accountable and seen as nothing more than the problematic things we've done in the past, then none of us would be dateable. You know, I'm always comfortable with someone being brought back in if they've done something problematic, as long as they've done the work to understand what that was about, as long as they promise to be better and can explain how, and are willing to take accountability. We've all done problematic things. We can't vote people off the planet because they've wounded us. And once a cheater, always a cheater is not true. There's a multitude of reasons as to why people cheat, and people have to be allowed to be forgiven and to do healing work. That is the basis of therapy. If we don't believe in that, then we need to get rid of therapy. Therapy is grounded in the idea that people can change and grow and be better. And they can. And cheating can be a very powerful learning experience. And so you see it as such. So take them back. I think it's a powerful thing. I'm on board. Yeah. Beautiful. So we still got time to weigh in on the question of the night. Question of the night is your caught cheating horror story. We want to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, and the funny. Also, phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, it's that time. Question of the night time. Caught cheating horror stories. Oof, it's going to be good. Here we go. Listener said, I cheated on my boyfriend a few times. Nothing past making out and cuddling with people on Molly. Oh, there we go. A good old friend, Molly, who gets us to be touching up on everybody. He's having an incredibly hard time forgiving me and trusting me again, which is making us both hate the relationship. I lied to him about it for 4 months because I was so scared of losing him because of those stupid mistakes. See, this is what I'm saying, though. I think it's really important for us to not disregard the story of the person who's cheated. This person sounds remorseful. They sound like they want to take some accountability. And that's why I like the idea of having a conversation. What was that? What was it about for you? Why did you cheat? What made you choose that of all the different options? Was I not safe for you to go to talk about things that were wrong? But in this case, it was just your drug use. So stop hanging out with Molly. You know what I mean? Try to have fun without Molly, and then you might not be rubbing up on everybody. Just saying. All right. Another caught cheating horror story. Pretty sure one of my exes cheated on me. and then came home and had sex with me right after, which to this day is the most disgusting and despicable thing anyone has ever done to me. It was made 1,000 times worse because this was done by a girl I loved and had been together with for years. I'm sorry. That's heartbreaking. I mean, that's what's so sad about this topic is you hear a lot of wounding. I mean, it's the lack of trust, the lack of care for your impact on your other. Oof, of all the things to do, cheating is just culturally one of the most damaging ones. All right. Sorry. Here we go. Here's another one. Fell in love. Dated for 3 years. She meant the world to me. Got dumped a week before I would have proposed. Had the ring and the whole event planned out. Really devastated me. Turns out she left me for an upgrade she'd been cheating with for a long time. I found out later from her friends that she cheated constantly throughout the time we were together. I'm sorry. My heart really goes out to you on that one. It really, really, truly does. That sounds so painful. I'm glad, though, that you hadn't proposed. I'm glad that you hadn't and maybe they had accepted and you would have been trapped in that. But hopefully you're able to still hold space to the fact that there are people that can be trusted and do like long-term commitment. In fact, our producer over there, Samantha, maybe I'll set you up, send some pics. Okay. always trying to play matchmaker. You know what I mean? We all deserve love. hey, slide into my DMs. Maybe I'm interested. You know what I mean? Okay. Here's another one. I found out I was the other girl. I'd been kind of seeing this dude and was expecting him to come over at any time. I got a phone call and I answered it saying, hey, hot stuff, when you getting here? And there's a long pause on the other end. Then I hear a woman's voice. Then she confronts me about how long I've been seeing him and turns out she had been living with him for years and she just found out he was cheating with me. That's heartbreaking for both of you. Being the other person and not knowing. If you're the other person and you do know, please stop because I do hold you accountable. I do hold everyone accountable for their decision making. And if they knowingly are aware that they're part of harming someone, that's not mental health. So if you're knowingly the other person, knock that off. And if you're not, I'm sorry to hear that because that's got to be devastating. I hope though that she accidentally answered. I hope that she wasn't answering to hold you accountable. I'd rather her go to her cheating partner and say what's going on because it's not your fault. You didn't know, but sometimes we like acted out on everyone. So anywho, okay. Caught cheating horror story. Me and my best friend, also a guy, were sitting next to each other at a football game. His girlfriend was on the other side of him. We were holding hands behind his back. She left him and started dating me eventually. My best friend was no longer my friend. Then a year into our relationship, she wound up cheating on me with my old best friend. Laugh out loud. Needless to say, me and my old best friend became friends again and we both dropped her like a hot potato. Wow. I mean, that's something to bond over, I guess. Hey, look at us. You know what I mean? We are a cuckoo bunch. God, that's a fun crowd to run with. Yikes. No, guys. Yeah, what's up with that? That's horrible. Oh, yeah, yeah. You'd think the people at the game sitting behind you might call attention to that. You know what I mean? Like, yo, dude, your girl is holding someone's hand. Turn around. Take a little snapshot. Yikes. All right, here's another one. Came home early. They were fast enough to get dressed, but not in a natural state of being. Oh, you know what I mean? They had that look of guilt on their eyes. If that makes sense, sure does. It was obvious something was just going down. Very cliched, got walked in on and tried to play cool like you see on TV. I asked him to leave and he did. We argued. She tried to lie, but soon confessed. It wasn't the first time she cheated on me, but it was the first time I caught her in the act. Everything in the past was just text and stuff. She said she never slept with other people and it was just pics and flirting. Well, I guess it escalated for sure. Walked in on that one. Ay, ay, ay. I've luckily never had that experience. I've never walked in on it. That's real. I've had every other experience though, you know? Anywho, it's not about me. It's about y'all. Got another story. Went to log into email and a suggested one that I didn't recognize popped up. I answered all his security questions and reset his password to find emails between him and our neighbor. We were in therapy to recover from him cheating with her and they were waxing poetic about their love and when I'd be out of the house so they could be together. The actual horror story is that our 7-year-old daughter is the one who accidentally caught them originally by walking into our bedroom while I was at work. Ay, ay, ay. How do you even explain that to the 7-year-old? That's old enough to have a sense of something going on, right?
Neighbor is in daddy's bed.
Jeez. How do you... Yeah, wow. All right. Good parenting, you know? Oh, my God. Here's another one. These are good. Thank you guys for being so vulnerable. Caught cheating horror story. My wife went on a girl's trip this weekend.
On Saturday, her group was hanging out with guys who were on a bachelor party weekend trip. The guys were buying everything. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I'd imagine there were 5 girls, 5 guys. Anyway, they ended up in the guy's suite, all 10 of them together. The girls started leaving because it was late, and my wife's best friend was the last girl to leave, other than my wife. This best friend recently cheated on her husband of 6 months. The best friend left my drunk wife in the suite. My wife ended up having sex with one of the guys. She came back to the best friend's room and cried. Then her best friend called me and told me. I forgave her, though, as her friend said she was genuinely sorry.
Intuition.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's my thing. You know, drunken behavior, we are not at our best. Our inhibitions are down. We're not doing our, you know, best judgment. So that's in there. However, you have to be held accountable for everything you do nonetheless. And if you tend to do stupid things while drinking, yeah, adult time. Stop drinking. I don't know, man. These are rough. Thanks for sharing, though. All right. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll slide into the DMs. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris and radio.com on the new Channel Q.
Call Love Line now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Love Line. We'll be right back.
Love Line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, it's time for some sliding back in those DMs.
Ah, sliding.
Oh, that's me doing the sound effects. Slide into the DMs is brought to you by. Oh, there it is.
Into the DMs.
You know, I'm able-bodied. I can do what I need to do. You know what I mean? Who needs sound effects? All right, slide into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. You can tell it's weekend, you know what I mean? We're all eager, it's the holiday weekend, ready to get out of here. It's like Friday, it's wait for 3 p.m. for the bell to ring. Woo! All right, here we go. Hey, Liveline, so recently my girlfriend has been a little weird with me. Being short, easily annoyed, just general moodiness. I didn't think much of it and let things go. Then all of a sudden today, she took some pics down of us on social media. Yikes. When I brought it up, she got upset and said it's her social media and she can take down and put up whatever she wants and accused me of being insecure. She's right. She can put up anything she wants, up or down. I just wanted to make sure things were okay, no problems. I mean, if she would blah, 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 blah. Okay. Sorry, I'm just pushing this to the point. I would have been fine. By bringing this up, am I wrong? No, look. We set patterns and we have habits. If that changes, there's a reason why it changes. And I think it's totally appropriate. In fact, I think it's loving to be very transparent and say to someone, hey, what's going on? We have habits. We have patterns. There's ways we've run our relationship and something's different. Now you're taking things down. What's going on about that? Mind reading is horrible. I like highly communicative relationships. That's the whole goal. That's intimacy, right? And that's what we're kind of our secondary theme of the night is truth and really honoring what can come from that. So keep asking. I think that's phenomenal. And don't be in relationships where if you ask questions, people shame you for it and shut you down. That's not mental health. That's actually emotionally abusive. So no, keep asking questions. If someone's taking down pictures of the two of you together off social media, yeah, it's a red flag. Something's going on. Follow your intuition. That's the other theme of the night, right? Truth and intuition, both are important things. So, I'll tell you all a little story. This is horrible. So I was dating someone and I thought we're at that point. Things were a little rocky, but I thought we're at that point where I could put a picture of us together on Facebook. Yeah, that's right. I think I told the story before. Everyone in the studio is already laughing and pointing at me. So there I am putting the picture of us together. It's a really cute picture. Our little faces snuggled up together, tagged them in it. Minutes later, I get an alert that they had untagged themselves. And then I get a text message and I got dumped. I'm glad I posted it, though. I elicited that truth. That's right. If you want to dump me, boo-boo, dump me. Don't wait until I post a picture. Come on. It's all about truth. Your loss. Trust me. I see what you're up to these days, and it's definitely your loss. Okay, so we got time for another DM? All right. Hey, Dr. Chris, about 6 weeks, six weeks? That's odd. About 6 weeks, me and my girlfriend broke up. In that time, she slept with another man, her best friend. Okay, it's her prerogative. When we decided to try again, she didn't tell me. There it is. I found out the truth by accident a few days ago. Of course, I felt angry, but we were broken up, so I accepted it. And to be honest, I was flirting with a few other girls at the time. Yeah, that's how it goes. Problem is, she's still jealous. Even though she slept with another man, she can still get jealous.
Could be with a girl I talked to on Facebook or a girl in a bar, which we go to together. Told her she no longer has the right to be jealous. If she can't change, then the relationship will become toxic. Question is, can jealous people in relationships change? Yes. People that are jealous in relationships can change, but I agree with you. Again, I keep slinging this word around, but it's emotional abuse for someone to try to control and police you and shame you for having conversations, if they're, you know, appropriate, with other people. You're allowed to have an expansive life, talk to people, people of the sex that you are attracted to. That's healthy. So I'm not down with her shaming you for that. You have a right to say that is your trigger. Your triggers are yours to deal with. I'm empathetic around them, but I can't take responsibility for that. I'm not going to not have conversations because you're uncomfortable. Being in a relationship is about sometimes being uncomfortable, and that's okay. You're allowed to make people uncomfortable that you're dating. But can jealous people in relationships change? Yeah, but they have to do the work. They have to do the work of, as Dr. Tammy Nelson was saying, checking in. Is this something that I should be upset about, or is this just me misusing my feelings and trying to make you responsible for them, which isn't fair or kind? So there's that. All right, y'all. So you guys have a happy and safe holiday, Memorial Weekend, whether you're doing the music festivals or DragCon, which I'll be out on Saturday. So come out and say hi to me. I'll be there with World of Wonder hanging out. That's our show for the night. We'll be back on Tuesday. Monday, we're going to be taking it holiday style, be playing some good music. So check us out nonetheless. You guys have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. It's cool hanging with you. See you soon.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.